This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacy Cole, and Todd Michaels.
The prosecution's entire case here in the Au Pair Affair murder trial that's getting underway of Brennan Banfield, it comes down to one person, Juliana Perez Mangeles. She spent a year in jail facing second-degree murder charges. Then she changed her story, took a plea deal for manslaughter with time served, and agreed to testify against the man she allegedly helped commit double murder. She gets to go home to Brazil. All she has to do is say what prosecutors need her to say. But here's the thing. From a jail cell, she wrote to her mother, and she was heartbroken for what she was doing to Brendan, that she still loved him. So how does the jury weigh testimony from a witness whose freedom depends entirely on conviction? Jennifer Coffendaff, a retired FBI special agent, is here to help us break all that down. The sentencing is scheduled for after Banfield's trial. This is the scheduling for Juliana, meaning nothing or go back to Brazil, to ensure that she continues to cooperate. I mean, essentially, that means to ensure that she continues to say what we want her to say. If she doesn't say what we want her to say, they could say you're not going back home. I mean, this, again, this doesn't feel like the free will of a witness in a case like this when you're holding literally her future in front of her.
And Tony, that happens every day in every investigation from the standpoint of we get witnesses that are jailhouse snitches. We get witnesses. Look, you can't get choir boys to talk about gang banging or to talk about murders, right? It's people who have their hands dirty in one way or the other in terms of the crime, because those are the witnesses to them, right? So you have to take into account, in my opinion, how does she hold up on the stand? How does she do in terms of what she said? It's always a problem when you have anyone change any but in their testimony. I mean, for me, geez, it's tough. I mean, you start discounting what they have to say for me, not because of what you're talking about in terms of the, you know, going back to Brazil or they get a sentence reduction. But basically what I'm looking at is, well, you lied here. Are you lying here? Are you lying, you know, the whole time? So I think that's the biggest problem. And the jury's going to have to make that determination. I think many of us will be watching that testimony to see what we think.
Yeah.
I mean, and they got, you know, they obviously have talked to her before going into trial. I mean, I don't know how strong they believe their case is or how many blinders they have on, considering the amount of investigators who've been kicked off the case because their findings didn't jive with the theory of the case. How do you, I mean, and not necessarily talking in this case, but just more in general, how do you distinguish between a cooperator who's finally telling the truth because they want to tell the truth versus one who's saying whatever gets them out?
It's really very simple. It has to do with, can I corroborate the statements from independent facts? That's what the litmus test should be for all investigators. Anybody can sing a song and dance, but does that song and dance match up with your facts that you have in your case?
Sure. I'm trying to piece this together in my mind because I am disturbed by the investigative work on this. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily believe that they're innocent, but it does raise some red flags. And I'm trying to parse that out in my mind. Let's just go down the road here for a moment of, okay, the investigators did figure out that it was the wife, the deceased wife, that was on FetLife, and maybe she was communicating with these people and was having these affairs or whatever. Let's just pretend that that's reality for a moment. Maybe it was. How do we get to where we got today? How does she end up dead? Is it basically exactly what they said they did as being reality, that this man with no criminal record who's living, I believe he was like living at home with his mom or something. I mean, the mom has all these lovely things to say about little Norman Bates or whatever his name is. And the way that their relationship was and how he was, and he was very calm and this or that, but he's, you know, he's showing up for a rape fantasy off of a website. So I got to question, you know, just how stable the man is to begin with. But is that the answer? Is it, well, he showed up with the intent to kill her, and he was going to kill her, and he was killing her, and luckily these guys showed up and killed him too. Unfortunately, he killed her first. Is that just the storyline? Because, I mean, it doesn't match up extremely well to the blood spatter and such as well.
No, it doesn't match up. And look, I think... from what I know of this case, that they likely have the right scenario, but it is concerning in terms of this digital analysis. That's probably my biggest concern. But I will say, what other digital analysis was done? Are they going to have another expert that's going to replace the other expert that sees it a different way? I have not seen that evidence. Have you?
Mm-hmm. I have not. I don't know what that's going to be or what it, or if it exists or whatnot. Because I am curious. Because you have, I mean, you got to look at it from the other direction too. Maybe there's some validation behind those people within the department who said you're never going to do this analysis again. Maybe they looked at it and went, "This is a really, this is a shit report. Your methods, the way you did this, are not up to snuff. So yes, you did come to this conclusion, but the way you got there, we don't believe." Maybe they'll be able to come back and say that. I don't know the answer to that question yet, but it is alarming when you have multiple investigators on this case all getting booted because what their conclusions allegedly seem to have been did not follow what they want to put into this neatly wrapped box. Sometimes though, we do see this where the conclusions don't necessarily fit into the neatly wrapped box, but the prosecution isn't, I don't know, I want to say creative enough, or I don't know the word I'm looking for here is, but they don't have enough to present it in any other way than the way that they've been saying it over and over. And it doesn't mean that their theory isn't true. It's just they're not able to roll with the punches enough to continue to go down the road in an effective manner. And then they start creating these things that raise red flags, that raise questions of credibility and accountability.
Well, I feel like there's so much that we haven't seen, right? We're at the beginning stages. And yeah. I really want to see where this really takes us. I know what you're saying. There's concerns with people not being on the case that perhaps had different theories. And then you combine that with the digital analysis that was done that doesn't pair up because of who purportedly committed these searches. But like you said, how well of work did he do? What's his background and credentials in terms of, has he made mistakes in the past? What were his methods? And is there anybody that's going to come up and refute him for a particular reason? I mean, remember the 227 search? How long to die in snow? And then it turned out that was just when the browser was opened at 227, not when the search was conducted. So it's so critical to, I think, when you get into digital analysis is to really understand the methods and the expertise of the individual conducting the searches.
I mean, there's room for a lot of nuance here, without a doubt. And that's it's important to go into this thing, you know, I think with an open mind and not just 100% in this way, because there is some weird stuff going on here. And if all we're doing is maybe we do call out some bad behavior of the investigators, but it doesn't necessarily mean either that Brendan is innocent and Juliana is innocent either. The defense, of course, is going to be hammering Juliana's credibility. Does this trial at the end of the day, obviously they're going to have a lot of witnesses on the stand. They're going to have this expert and that expert, and they're going to pound it from both ways. Does it all though pretty much come down to Juliana's testimony and how she delivers and how she delivers it and how credible she comes across to that jury?
I think that's going to be a huge part of it. The jurors are either going to take her one way or the other. Is it possible they could completely discount her credit or her testimony? That's even possible. And then now you're down to blood spatter evidence and the evidence from the scene. And I'm interested in all the details that they're going to have that show the web being woven. I want to see what all of those details come out, because at the end of the day, you're going to want to show this motive because you believe in that motive. If the jurors believe the motive, then the jury will likely convict.
It feels like there's a lot of room for reasonable doubt on this one. It really, more than I thought initially digging into it. And now that we're here and I've really dug a lot more, it's like, yeah, this isn't as clear cut as it just seems on the surface. Mm-hmm. There'll be a lot. There'll be a lot that will come out and we'll bring it to you right here. Jennifer Coffendaff, a retired FBI special agent, as always, thank you for coming on and giving us your insight into all of these cases. We'd love to get your thoughts as well. Be sure to put your thoughts in the comment section of the videos on YouTube or join our Substack, hiddenkillers.substack.com. The link is in the description as well. Be sure to weigh in. It's absolutely free right now to join our Substack. Everything is free, no paywall. You can even get our stories a day before they land everyone else. So please do check that out and join us there and communicate directly with us in the studio on the Substack. Until next time, for Todd and Stacey and Jennifer, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.